Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It's Sunday, November the 16th, in the year of our Lord 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. You know, I get people letting me know from time to time, like, well, you always say good morning, but I do the wake-up call at night. And so let me just level set with you here. I often say if you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. And I know you may feel like, well, I guess I just lost. But what if I won? Well, here's what I'd like to say. There's two ways to think about this. The biblical notion of a creation day, if you read Genesis 1, you'll see, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. The biblical creation day begins at night. So you too, who listen at night, can still win the morning. So thanks for that, Jesus. And it's all grace, right? The day begins at night. What's the first thing you do? Go to bed. God doesn't sleep. It's grace. It's grace. So everybody's included here. Are we ready for consecration today? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, I see kind of the patterns of how many people open the email. And I notice our Saturday and Sundays go down. And I understand that. It's a different pattern on the weekend than it can be during the week. And we just can lose a lot of people. But man, I just wish people could dive into all these. This is a Sunday, and I loved yesterday's entry. I love today's entry, and I don't want anybody to miss any of them. But meanwhile, I'm only talking to the people who are listening right now. So God bless you, and God bless them, and let's keep going. You ready? Here's today's entry: from bad karma to amazing grace. Why do good things happen to bad people? How about that for a turn on the normal question? Our text all day long, John chapter 9. We're going to be reading the first three verses for focus here. Hear now the word of the Lord. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Who sinned? Newton's third law of motion states that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We know it as the law of cause and effect. There's another interesting word to describe this universal law: karma. Karma is cause and effect raised to the level of religion. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Something about our own insecurity demands we ask the question, whether we're conscious of asking it or not. "I wasn't born blind," the disciples perhaps reasoned. "Either me or my parents must have done something right along the way. We are good people." These days, we don't so much think this way about people who have a physical or mental disability. When it comes to the poor and imprisoned, it's a different story. We tend to think people are living in poverty or are in jail because of their own fault or the fault of their parents. After all, the thinking goes, one reaps what they sow. Jesus dealt a death blow to this whole system and approach to life. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So, was Jesus saying just the opposite, as in, this tragedy is not a result of someone's sin? Rather, God caused this to happen for a reason? And that was so God could get glory from what Jesus was about to do? That this would make God out as some kind of monster, wouldn't it? God caused this man to be born blind so he could suffer untold hardship and constant community shame for 40 years or so until Jesus arrived on the scene. Does this sound like God? What if it's more like this? Every broken place in every broken life holds the possibility for the glorious works of God to be put on display. Everything that happens in life does not happen as a consequence of some prior choice or action. Nor does God plant every tragedy and hardship in the world because he has a reason for it. At the risk of oversimplification, let me state it simply. Everything that happens is not God's will, but God has a will in and through everything that happens. How about cancer? Who sinned? Was it the genetic code of his parents, or was it because he was a chain smoker? That's the wrong question. Cancer is not bad karma. Cancer in the hands of God can become one of two things. Number one, it could provide an opportunity for the demonstration of the miraculous healing power of the Holy Spirit to eradicate cancer. Or, number two, it could provide an opportunity for the demonstration of the miraculous healing power of the Holy Spirit to transform the life, character, faith, and even the family and friends of the sick person who is given the extraordinary gift of faith in the face of fear, come what may. In either instance, cancer always creates the opportunity for the display of the works of God through the ordinary yet supernatural conspiracy of the love of God for a person through his people, the church. That was a long sentence. The cross crushed karma, fatalism, and fear. As they looked upon Jesus on the cross on that Good Friday so long ago, so many were asking the question, who sinned? After all, doesn't the Bible say everyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed by God? As we look upon Jesus on the cross, we know the answer to the question, who sinned? It was me and you. In an act that forever crushed karma, fatalism, and fear, and yes, the curse, Jesus held out healing for all who will receive it. And I quote Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. We are all pretty sure why bad things happen to bad people. Allow me to turn this equation on its side just a bit. This whole system of thinking has compounded over the centuries to culminate in the question of all questions of the modern age. Why do bad things happen to good people? It is yet another misguided question, pointing to the epic fail of karma. The real question we must all come to grips with is this one. Why do good things happen to bad people, also known as sinners? The answer, grace. This one was a thinker, wasn't it? Grace. Think about that song by U2. Bono sang it. It was in the 2000 record, All That You Can't Leave Behind, Grace. It's the name of a girl, he said. It's also a thought that changed the world. He goes on, she travels outside of karma, Grace does. Grace makes beauty, he sings, out of ugly things. Man, I love that song. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who is beyond amazing grace. How can we fathom this love who would take our place and crush our curse and redeem our lives? Come, Holy Spirit, and heal our blindness that we might see Jesus and so see ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And isn't that really the interesting thing about this story? The man was blind from birth, but where was the real blindness? The real blindness was nobody could see him. People could only see him themselves. Who sinned, right? This man or his parents. I'm not blind, so, you know, if bad things aren't happening to me, somebody must have done something right, or I did something right. It's just a disastrous way of thinking, and we all think that way. You reap what you sow. You get what you got coming to you. Jesus totally crushes it. In fact, he not only doesn't give us what we deserve, he gives us what we don't deserve, right? Mercy is not getting what you deserve, your rightful smiting. That's mercy. Grace goes further and gives you what you don't deserve. Amazing love. That's how good God is. All right, journal prompts. How do you see the difference between karma and grace? Do you tend to always look for the reason for a particular hardship or tragic situation? Do you think God caused it? Is there a situation in your own life that could be a place for the demonstration of the works of God? And are you open to whatever form that might take? I'll just leave those with you. We've got singing to do today. There's so much to be said about this, but it's Sunday and we got to get to church and it's time to sing. Are you ready? We'll hand it over to Dad's going to help me. All right, everybody. We're ready to sing today. Dad's here with me. And we got another good one. We're singing a lot of Jesus songs this week, isn't it? But like, what else we got to sing about? What's our hymn?
All right, the hymn is "Oh How I Love Jesus," and you can't beat that one.
What's the number?
It is 153.
153. We'll sing
no,
all.
No, wait a minute.
That's it.
Yes, that's
153. We're gonna sing all five verses. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. It tells me sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It bids my trembling heart rejoice. It dries each rising tear. It tells me in a still small voice to trust and never fear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Last verse. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. That's good.
That's a long one.
And you know, that's the Bible actually says it just like that. It says we love because he first loved us.
Right.
And I was thinking about our...
So that gives you another reason to love him.
That's right. We love because he first loved us. And he loved us while we were yet sinners.
Amen. And we were.
We didn't have a hope.
He took us in.
We did not have a chance.
No.
He saw us at our lowest place.
And picked us up.
And lifted... You know, that's another song. Love lifted me.
Even me.
Love lifted
even me.
When nothing else would help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me. Love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. That's a bonus song today.
That's right, bro.
I love the, you know, our Bible story we read, our chapter 9 of John today, and that Jesus healed the man who was born blind. And the Pharisees, the religious people, man, they can snatch victory from the jaws. They can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And they're going around investigating this thing, and they're trying to find out, like, who sinned here, this guy or his parents. And they came to the guy, and they said, what's the deal? And the guy looked at him. He said, listen, I don't have answers to your questions. I know one thing. I was blind, and now I see.
Can't beat that.
That's the song. That's old Amazing Grace right there. I once was blind,
right. But
now I see. Well, we got good things to do today. Jesus has given us another day on this side of heaven, and so that means there's good to do, and we're going to go do it. So for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.